call the committee to order and then make an announcement. Tomorrow there will not be a meeting, but Thursday we have a meeting with three bills. Today we have what will be the first of probably several meetings dealing with technology, and this committee has in its purview technology. Technology will be looked at in this committee in a number of ways. Members, you have seen several state agencies and other groups related to the state come forth with budgets dealing with tens to sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars in technology. And those are rapidly increasing as technology has proliferated, as Representative Emmer has demonstrated to us almost every day in committee. What this committee will do is take a look at technology across the spectrum of state agencies, and hopefully we'll take a look at technology not from the aspect of a state agency that says it has to be built from scratch at the state level. It can only be built at the state level, and it can only be used at the state level. I would hope we would explore the private sector in ways that the private sector is using technology in a very advantageous way that could address some of the biggest concerns we have in the state: education, health care. Those two in particular are the largest parts of our state budget. So today we're going to take a look at a presentation from a Rochester firm, CPMT, and he'll explain what it is. This is Paul Rangsdorf, and he's the president of the firm. He's going to walk us through a PowerPoint that is in your packet. He would be open to questions at any time. This does deal with healthcare. This is a firm that deals with accountability in healthcare in the private sector for long-term care facilities. And this is one of the issues that we have before us this session that is a pressing issue. So with that, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record and present.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee members, my name is Paul Rangsdorf. As mentioned, we're based in Rochester, Minnesota. My background is in senior health care administration. What I mean by that is nursing homes, senior housing facilities, daycare centers, and the like. And I spent 15 years doing that in the Rochester area for Samaritan Bethany. And during that time, we developed many new programs and projects, and what I found was we collected a lot of good information about those programs and those projects to get things started. But there was an absence of that tracking of that information as we moved forward, and would have been very helpful to have that information available for decision making. So it led me to believe we could connect technology and that information and make it usable real time. So in 1994, I left my position and I connected with a Minnesota technology firm, Omni Engineering Services, to establish what became the first performance measurement template. We responded in 1996 to a request for proposal from two of the large senior healthcare providers in the state of Minnesota, Ebenezer Society and the Board of Social Ministry. They had come together and had 67 locations around the state of Minnesota, and they were in search of a way to manage the information that was coming, the operational information that was coming from all of those 67 locations. And they had some goals for a system when they internally did not. They had Excel spreadsheets and the like, and were just overwhelmed with the volume, having merged together and being too large and now one organization. So they had the goals of the system there to align with their strategy, be easy to use, and display graphic data over time. And that's what the template was based on and how it was built. They had written a set of measures of things that they wanted to track. And in fact, that was later published by the co-founder in the CARE Journal of Strategic Performance by the co-founder of CPMT, and my partner, Margie Kistner. We chose the name CPMT. It stands for a Customized Performance Measurement Template. We delivered on that contract and finished it in 1998 and rolled it out to their board leadership, and we received very, very good reviews, and they were very satisfied with the product and the result, and in fact encouraged us to take this out to others in the industry because of the usefulness. So that is when CPMT was born as a company, and this is what we do. We design and implement such performance measurement systems that display trended data over time. Since that time, we have grown. There's currently 200 plus user sites in 15 different states. What we're talking about here are multi-site, multi-location clients. They have a number of facilities and a number of locations. We're talking about affiliations where there may not be common ownership, but the entities have come together and share information for improvement, or they're already established networks for some other particular reason. One of our largest clients here in Minnesota is Presbyterian Homes and Services. As an example, they have 30 campuses, primarily in Minnesota, but also Iowa and Wisconsin. And each of those 30 campuses could contain a nursing home, a senior housing facility, assisted living facility, just at one of those campuses. And there's 30 of those locations around the area. We also have, based out of Pennsylvania, an affiliation grouping of facilities that have come together for the purpose of sharing information. They're not commonly owned, but they have seen the power of sharing information and have come together. There's also a large corporate senior care provider based out of Memphis, Tennessee, that provides services to seniors all over the southeast part of the country. And those would represent kind of a cross-section of the client groups that we serve. Why in the world do people care about this? Well, they want the information timely and upfront so we can be proactive managers, not reacting, but being proactive. We can also monitor regulatory risks, so there's a clear indication if we're bumping into an issue there, and we can make some change. Constantly strive to improve performance, and I'll show you that in the Access software in just a moment. We want it tied to the strategic direction, so we're headed in the right direction of where we want to go. And it's very helpful in sharing this information with stakeholders, constituent groups who want to know how the healthcare organization is performing. How are we doing towards certain goals? We strongly believe that by communicating and telling your constituent groups what's going on, telling your staff, telling those mid-level managers, it stimulates improvement. There's no doubt about it, and we've seen this happen. There's two pieces to how this works. One is the development of the measures. What is it that's critical to the success of the organization? What do they want to track? What do they want to measure? And the second piece is the collection, the entry, and using or viewing that information through the software. In the development of the measures, it's crucial that they represent balance. This is a philosophy that we're seeing organizations that are embracing continuous improvement are using this philosophy started by two professors from Harvard University, Robert Kaplan and David Norton, who say that we've got to measure more than just finance. We've got to take a look at customer satisfaction, how we're doing internally. Look at things in a balance, if you will, wholeness. The way that we do that in the software, here's a static shot, and we'll show you these live in just a little bit. This is what we call a radar chart. There's a group of measures that are broken into categories and balance. You get human resources and service delivery and customer satisfaction. And there's measures within each of them. But rather than look at one particular measure, what this chart does is it pulls all of those together and puts them on this radar chart. And the way we read that is how round is our blue data circle and how far out towards our goal are we on each spoke. So our goal is to push these data points out to this green goal circle. So in a perfect world, if we were meeting all of the goals we've established, that blue data circle would lay right over the exterior screen. It gives us a sense of balance. How equal are we applying the resources, and then how are we doing towards our goal? And then we also have a piece of a trends area, which shows us which way we're moving relative to the last time we looked at the chart. And I'll pull these up live on the software in just a little bit. A little bit more about development of the measures. What are we measuring? Very important that organizations pick vital few critical measures. Just like going to see the doctor, there's many, many, many tests that can be run on you, but there's a handful of things that they check to decide if they're going to dig further and perhaps perform additional tests and find out some additional information. So we start by measuring those vital few things, and those are what lead us in the development of those measures in that template. There's so much data out there in the technology age that we live in that an acronym has developed, and that being DRIPCA, that we're data rich, unfortunately information poor, and knowledge absent. So our job at CPMT is to turn that information into knowledge, helpful information for a decision-making process. Eliminate the drip. The other benefits that our clients are seeing have to do with benchmarks and benchmarking. By comparative data, we can establish some reasonable targets and some reasonable flags. What's the performance level, and how reasonable is it for us to set a goal or a target at that level based on what the performance is showing us? Also, the benchmarking, the comparison, allows us to identify who's best practice, who's doing a great job in a particular area. It becomes a resource then for other providers and other organizations. They can contact that person or that provider and say, gee, how are you achieving that? And what can we learn from it? And here's just a description, a further description of those advantages in benchmarking. We may learn that the capacity for how we're doing something is even higher than what we thought. We thought we were doing well, but there's a higher level that can be obtained through analysis here. We find that information out. I mentioned the best practices and also the attainable objectives. Very important when we're doing benchmarking to remember that it's not a club, it's not a report card, it's used to stimulate learning and advance practice to a higher level. Very important here that as changes are made, as systems are tweaked, if there's a mandate put out by an organization to accomplish something, is it having the desired result? And if it isn't, by monitoring this routinely, we can make mid-course changes and perhaps control some spending that would have otherwise happened in an area that really isn't returning the result we want to see. So where do you start? We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We take a look at what's available, what we have, and we move forward from there. It's always a work of art. These measures change, can be defined, redefined, and that's the beauty of the web-based system. When we put those measures into play, they're all delivered across the internet. We log in and you have access to it, and it can be changed easily, and once those changes are made, it happens universally across the system. So what I need to do now is refresh my browser and log into the application. And this is what a client would do as they get to a menu page, and we'll focus on the reports, the use of the data. These obviously won't be in your handouts here. We're running live on this, but what you see, here's our tree of measures. Human resources has some measures under it, service delivery, some customer satisfaction, all the way down the line.
Mr. Ingram, can you tell what type of a facility this would be?
Yes.
It would be a long-term care facility of some kind. Could you explain that?
Yes, thank you. This demonstration is set up for a long-term healthcare organization that might have multiple systems within it. In this area down here where we have a stratification defined, you can see it has either all systems or we can select a particular care system. So this would be an organization not unlike I described earlier, a Presbyterian homes perhaps, where they've got different locations and then facilities within each one of those that may be a senior housing, a nursing home, assisted living, etc. So the next level of strata is the service types. You can see that there's skilled nursing facilities or housing with service. These are all the ways in which we can slice down the data. Let me put some information up on the screen and further describe that. Here I'm just selecting out annualized turnover, for instance, as one of the items that are measured. And I can have the machine display the information for everyone that's in that particular care system, each bar representing a month.
Okay, Mr. Ainsworth, you mean say turnover. You're talking about turnover employees?
Yes. Annualized turnover rate under human resources would be employee turnover. And this portion here, when we talk about these measures, this is all customized or configured to the client's need. However they value whatever's critical to their success and how they track it, we establish in this tree of measures.
Can you bring up data that would be dramatically apparent at a glance that those bars are out of proportion, that there is a series of bars that would be up or down,
mm-hmm.
and then explain what that would mean?
Sure. I'm going to use the same data here and pull it apart now by service type. So now I've said, what's the impact that the skilled nursing facility groups are having on employee turnover? What's the impact that the housing facilities are having on employee turnover? So by pulling it apart, we can see that, and again, for example purposes, that the housing facilities are really where there seems to be quite a bit of fluctuation and a higher rate of employee turnover. We can then dig further into the information and start to find out, you know, where we want to ask the question. Now I've filtered it right down to just the housing facilities and said, put up each individual entity, and now I can see even further that we've had some high spikes in this facility and in this one here in the month of September, which is the blue bar. So we can then leads us to investigation and find out. The information data is not going to tell us what to do. It is going to tell us where to look and how to identify areas where we want to see improved performance.
You mentioned earlier on page 5 that there was a monitoring of mandates, whether or not mandates actually achieve the desired result.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a graph that would show us where mandates either did or did not achieve the desired result?
I think one of the...
This is a body that's somewhat familiar with mandate.
Thank you. What I'm doing here, Mr. Chairman, members, is putting up what we call a correlation chart where we can put two measures on the screen at the same time. In terms of the mandate, I have, and this applies from that group down in Pennsylvania, a specific situation, saying show all the skilled nursing facilities and then show me private pay and insurance days and Medicaid days. The initiative that this is based on came from an effort or mandate to move to more private pay and less medical assistance or Medicaid days. And here's a where we show that Medicaid days on the blue line have indeed decreased over the time from January through September, and our private pay insurance days have increased. This is the kind of thing that they were attempting to make occur and can demonstrate that, yes, indeed, it is happening.
Yep. Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Engstorf, do you have historical data then that you overlay on that, or how do you go back in time to create the kind of where they came from too? Because that's actually rather interesting.
Mr. Engstorf.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the strongest client base that we have been on the system for 4 and 5 and 6 years, and so they have that historical data that they can go back. We do not overlay any particular thing. They build their data as they move forward, and the system can break that down into quarterly and yearly. So if we have additional, if the chart gets so large, then they just shove it together and they make it usable in that regard. What we've seen clients do that get started in the recent, 18 months, they have even gone back and backloaded information. The system accommodates that. So they can pull their information and backload it so they have that history right away.
Representative Brett. Representative
Mr. Chair, Mr. Rengstorf, what kind of systems integration or data integration investment is required for this? Are you able to take existing databases and put this on top and pull data, or do they have to invest in new software, new database kind of technology in order to make this happen?
Mr. Rengstorf.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the good news is we can import data from existing data sources. And in fact, because of the balanced set of metrics, a lot of times the information comes from an HR system or payroll, and also comes from a clinical package or from other systems in the organization that have data outputs, and we can stream those in here.
Mr. Chair, so does that become sort of, you create in a sense a data warehouse separate or standalone from the underlying systems?
Mr. Engstrom.
Mr. Chairman, yes, that's true. It is a freestanding data warehouse. It's all web-based. The clients own their own data, but it is housed on a secure web server. And the shelves of that data warehouse are filled with their data.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One final question, maybe more, I guess, but right now, a final question. So is this more, do you sell this as a software package or more of a managed service with consulting services? Is this something that you just kind of give them and they run with, or is this an ongoing involvement with your company?
Mr. Engstrom.
Mr. Chairman, thank you again for that question. It is an ongoing involvement with the client. We develop a relationship to support their use in a system. In the changes from time to time that they make in the measures for any use of reports and the technology side we do, and then also the metrics piece, the development of what's in that tree, what's to be measured. My partner is very skilled in that area, and we can start from square one with folks, or we can inject ourselves where needed if they have a very clear idea already of what they want to track. But it is very much a collaborative effort.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Racer, go ahead, proceed. We're running a little bit short on time, but that's all right.
Okay. This shows a correlation chart. There's a number, as you can see, a number of other reports that use this data. The data check report is simply designed to allow someone to go in and clearly see what the information has been entered, so we know what's being used to put up that graph or that bar. This is a straightforward example where we're just entering private pay insurance days. But what I'd like to do with this is just jump back to that employee turnover rate and show you that the system also does a little more math than just what we would call a plug number. Here's an example where a client said, I want to track turnover by taking the number of separations and the number of employees at the beginning and ending of a period, and then doing some math on that to return those bars and those lines. And that's what this formula is up here. Oftentimes, our clients are using this in a boardroom or in a meeting room like this, and the question may arise, well, that, you know, that line or bar doesn't quite seem like that's really an accurate reflection of what's going on. And this allows us to just go plink this up there right away and say, well, here's the information that was entered. So if there's any question, at least we know exactly what we're looking at. Here's that radar chart. We saw a static shot of this a little bit earlier, but I'll just put this up and click the button. There we go. Again, how round is the circle? You know, how round is the blue data figure? And then how far out are we on each of the particular spokes? So if I was looking at this, I might say, well, what's going on with our spoke of employee satisfaction? We are not near where we want to be. We're caving in here. I can come over here and see a green light, which it tells me at least we're moving it in the right direction. But we may have some further issues that I want to identify. Likewise, what's going on with admissions or operating margin? We want to celebrate success or near successes. And then from here we can go over and pick out the measure that relates to this particular area and dig further in, like I'd shown you earlier, where we can pull the data apart and identify performers, top performers, or laggards, and try to move the bar for everyone.
Mr. Engstrup, in facilities where they've used this, and you've got a number of states that are using this system, have we seen, and you started your presentation with quality of care and improvement, even though some of those lines would indicate that there's poor performance, once this goes up, do they see then an improvement, at least a gradual improvement, as a result of identifying that they have a problem?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, absolutely. And two things with that. One is the importance of celebrating or letting the team know that, hey, we've achieved that, we've reached our goal, and also to advance other organizations and serve as a resource for others in the group that maybe have not achieved that goal yet.
So, Mr. Engstrup, I'll hold it. Representative Broad, you have a question.
Mr. Chairman, I could definitely wait for you.
That's okay.
One thing I'm curious about, Mr. Engstrup, is how do you measure? I mean, you said you can measure well whether you have met your goal regarding customer satisfaction or employee satisfaction, but how do you actually measure those? I mean, do you have a subset that you pull up and show what measurements you're using for employee satisfaction and things like that?
Mr. Engstrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative. We do have suggested measures in those areas, and particularly you mentioned satisfaction, resident or employee satisfaction. I can tell you a real specific, oftentimes what's used there is the response to a quote-unquote recommend question. Would you recommend this organization to your friends or to other family members? Would you recommend this organization as a place of employment for your family? And then what's tabulated is how many respond to the question and how many respond to the question positively. That's just one example. There are there's a whole science to the development of the metrics, and I'm going to slide that off to my partner who's out here, Margie Kistner, who's very skilled in the whole development of what's critical to the success of meeting goals. That's a very, very common question. It comes up routinely when we're doing presentations.
Mr. Engstrup, we're running out of time a little bit, so if you want to...
Let me jump back to this show and the slides. This slide is just to indicate to you that... Let me tell you which page we're on here.
I think page 6, bottom...
Thank you.
Okay.
This static slide is just to indicate the configurable or customizable nature of our web-based tool. And that is, we're not limited to, as I showed in the example or demonstration, care systems or campuses or senior facilities. Here's an example where the lower left red circle, it says here, all facility sizes, all geographic regions, all ownership types. We have clients where that makes more sense. They want to look at it and break it down that way. So they're able to, we're able to configure the system to do that as well. This was brought to my attention last fall, just as a potential, as something that you people are approached with. And the chairman started out with indicating at the beginning this morning, this was a request to look at the development of a web-based resource to track and provide information regarding psychiatric acute care hospitals. Systems such as I'm describing to you here this morning could accommodate such a program like that.
And members, the reason why the presentation's here is in part because of this sheet, that when this came out and it became available to this organization, they contacted us. So that's in part why we're here today. Mr. Rangsdorf, you have a summary for us?
I'll skip through these and simply say that it's we're growing at a steady rate in a information age and technology age. And it's a pleasure for myself to represent CPMT and let you all know what's available out there and ask you to consider its use as you move forward in doing your tasks.
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman and sir, in any of the care facilities that you work with, has one of the things you've checked the reimbursement on the state, how well they achieve reimbursement on the state, and you ever come up with any problems in state in the state's response to requests?
Mr. Ainsworth?
Is that something you can check?
If it can be checked. There's a very...
Excuse me.
Representative Kahn.
No one's asked you to do that?
Mr. Ainsworth.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, we have been asked to track where payments are coming from, what the source of the payment is. In other words, are they paying privately or through insurance, Medicare or Medicaid? And that is being tracked out there, absolutely. In terms of state response, per se, I do not have an example of that.
Mr. Ainsler, but you could if you were requested to and given the information.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. It's simply a matter of defining the metric or measurement and placing it into the template.
Representative Kahn.
I was specifically interested in the reaction with the MMIS system, but you don't have anything that specifically looked at that.
Mr. Ainsler.
Chairman, no, I do not have an example this morning.
Any further questions, members? Representative Wolfshanger.
Chair, Mr. Rainsdorf, is that how you say your name? I live in Outstate, Minnesota, so there's a difference in the base pay, for example, or the base load between a nursing home in a rural area versus a different area. Is this the type of software that the state could use to look at a number of factors? Because, in fact, you could look at an outstate nursing facility and maybe see a higher turnover of help or other issues. So, I mean, is this where you could start to look at balance?
Mr. Ainsworth.
Chairman, Representative? Yeah, absolutely. And, in fact, there's clearly a difference, and there's systems within in the payment process that identifies those. And this system, software, would allow you to do geographic comparisons and say, here's our metro grouping, here's our outstate or greater Minnesota grouping. Yes.
Mr. Ainsworth, we do appreciate your use of the word greater Minnesota. For those of us who live in greater Minnesota, and this is lesser Minnesota because it's smaller. Outstate, we usually consider Wisconsin and Iowa. So thank you for that correction.
Appreciate it.
Representative Wolfshanger, do you have another question? Any further questions? Members, Mr. Ainsworth, thank you very much for coming today. We appreciate you taking time out of your business to do this presentation. And I would hope, members, if you come across something that you think we would be interested in the area of technology, bring it forward. We have very limited resources this session, despite what you might hear. And if we could target those resources better and hold them accountable and actually have a system that would tell us whether or not these mandates perform, I think it would greatly free up resources for other things. I do have Representative Simon, I think, has someone to introduce.
I do. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I would like to introduce and welcome to the committee and to the House of Representatives Joe Marble, who is a new researcher with the House Republican Caucus. I know Joe because he is a constituent of mine in Hopkins, and he and I, despite our difference in political affiliation, which we kid each other about, we have collaborated on a couple of projects locally in the community and last year on a campaign finance bill. So I know him to be a great guy, and also I'm sure he'll be a great asset to not only the Republican caucus, and they chose very wisely, but also to the Minnesota House. So welcome, Joe.
Welcome to the committee. Members, I'm going to make the announcement I made at the beginning. There is no meeting tomorrow, but Thursday we have three bills up. So if we would be here at 8 o'clock so we can make sure we get all those bills covered, and then I think Representative Morgan has a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now that we have a quorum present, I'd like to move the minutes of the January 23rd meeting.
Representative Morgan moves the minutes. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Representative Kahn.
Chairman, I'd like to make another motion.
Yes.
Something that's been sort of irritating, and the committee has been pretty good about it. If you look at your minutes, you notice that the comma is in the correct, there's a comma in the correct place between government operations and reform. But if we look at our folders, it is incorrect. And so I would urge the folders to be corrected.
Representative Kahn will make that correction, and those commas are critical.
Yes, and the book I would recommend to all members of the committee is a book called Eat Shoots and Leaves, the story of a panda who goes into a bar and orders something to eat, shoots the bartender and leaves, and it's because of a mistake in the dictionary, which gives a definition of a panda as a black and white mammal that eats, comma, shoots, and leaves.
Representative Kahn, thank you for that. And before you start shooting someone for lack of a comma, we'll correct it.
Thank you.
Are you taking discussion on that? No.
Representative Kay, I think we've had this discussion. We'll move forward with a comma.
Thank you.
Is there any further discussion before Thursday? Okay. With that, meeting is adjourned.